Continuing our study in James this morning. Again, I hope everyone's enjoying James as much as I am. I've really enjoyed getting in and really going through this book. It's been very enjoyable, very informative. And we'll continue this morning in James chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. James 4, 11 and 12. So as I was thinking about this, these just two verses, I thought that it would be very good to review a little bit. But before we do that, I wanted to just say again how much I really enjoyed being able to speak to all of you. It's been such a privilege and an honor, and I'm so thrilled. So humbled to be able to do this with you today. So as I was thinking about this passage, I couldn't help but think of TV. And you might ask, why would you be thinking of TV? So I was thinking TV can be good and bad at the same time. In my humble opinion, TV started going downhill with the rise of reality TV. If you like reality TV, please don't take this personally. It's just my opinion. But every channel you put on, you see shows like America's Got Talent, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, numerous cooking competition shows. Those would probably be the only ones that we would have watched of this list. Judge Judy, The People's Court. I could go on and on. What do all these shows have in common? Are you noticing a theme? These shows have judges. Seems like the entire purpose of these shows is for someone to willingly go in front of these judges, do whatever it is they think they know how to do, and be judged by these expert judges that they don't even know. And from what I can tell, from the very, very limited exposure I have to these shows, it seems like the harsher the judges are, the more the audience likes it. Listen, I do not need to go on national TV in front of perfect strangers and be judged and ridiculed. I get that every day when I go home. Of course I kid. Kind of. But we love to see people judged, to be critiqued, to be put down, to be ridiculed for something, for some reason. We like it as long as it's not us being judged. Then we have all thought, whilst we're watching these shows maybe, I could do that thing. I could cook just as well, or whatever it happens to be that they're doing. I could do that so much better. I should be on that show. Or our pride comes in, and we think, never mind being a contestant on the show, I would be a much better judge than that person. If that person can do it, I certainly could judge people. And that is what the next few verses in James is talking about. No, he's not talking about reality TV, but James is addressing this idea of being a judge and who should be a judge. Clearly, the people he is writing to are struggling with this concept of judgment or mercy. But before we get into these next few verses, I just want to take a quick minute to review what we've seen so far in James. When I was in college and a teacher would review, I was always happy in that class because it was very helpful, but I also knew that class was going to be very easy that day. But I think it is very helpful to take a minute and review what we've seen through this book of James as we continue. It will help us as we look at verses 11 and 12 this morning. We know James is writing to Jewish believers who are living outside of Palestine. James is writing to them in a very pastoral way. He's encouraging them and rebuking them for some of the ways they are living. James chapter 1, we see James teaching about the testing of our faith. We must count it all joy, he tells us, when we face trials and testing, because it is for the maturing and perfecting of our faith. Then the second half of James 1, we talked about being an eager hearer. But not just an eager hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. We are to look into the perfect law of liberty, he says, and come away changed, not forgetting what we saw. Living a life that is honoring to God. Then in James 2, we saw the sin of favoritism or partiality, something that is very relevant today. There's no room for partiality or prejudice in the life of a believer. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. You can't do this if you are showing favoritism to one person or group over another. The second half of James 2, James shows us that faith without works is dead. We made sure to make the distinction that works or deeds cannot save us or earn us any favor or merit with Christ. But faith with works demonstrates a profitable Christian life, full of true faith. Then we talked about this small member that is so very powerful, the tongue, in James 3. How this small member has great responsibility and great power and is very misused. That then took us to two types of wisdom. Earthly wisdom that seeks self, and wisdom from above that seeks to glorify God. Then just last week, we were in James 4 and we talked about conflict. The war that is going on right now inside every one of us. Are we going to let God win the war of our heart? Or are we going to live a life of self, letting self win, the pursuit of pleasure, taking control of our hearts? Who is winning that war in your heart? The overriding theme or lesson throughout James is whatever controls your heart controls you. From counting our trials all joy, to the hearing and doing of the word, to our sin of partiality, to living out our faith in works or controlling our powerful tongue, and what wisdom we are allowing into our heart and mind, that is going to control the war that is raging inside of us. All of us, this comes down to who or what is controlling your heart. Do not let self, the pursuit of this pleasure, control your heart. Do not let them win the war of your heart. We also learned that in order to live a life that we should be living, to live a life that is honoring to God, we must know Christ. We must know Him, His great grace. We must know His great grace to be able to live out all of these things James has taught us. James is continuing what he has been saying throughout the entire book thus far. If you want to avoid conflict and quarrels, if you want to allow God to rule your heart and not yourself, or your pursuit of pleasure and passions, you must also avoid or stop doing this. Judgment. Stop being the judge. So let's read our passage together this morning in James 4, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So the first thing we're going to look at today is man's judgment. We see man's judgment. James tells us, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. What James is about to address is not really a problem of the tongue, although the tongue is involved. It is a problem of the heart. It is our tendency, even though the core message of the Word of God is that we have received a gift that we could never have earned, we could have never achieved, we could have never deserved. The song we sang last week, and I referenced it in our message last week as well, His Mercy is More. The third verse says, we stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. We know we do not deserve this mercy. God has every reason for judging us and driving us out of His presence into eternal punishment. But what does He do? He turns to us in unconditional love and patient grace and calls us His children. Yet, in the face of that message, how easy is it for us to have a critical, slanderous spirit towards one another? One commentator on this passage pointed out three places where we have this critical, slanderous spirit towards one another. First, a critical, slanderous heart will speak evil about you to myself. I'll silently watch you. I'll critique you. I'll pick up on your weaknesses and your failures. I'll notice the gaps in your righteousness and your biblical knowledge, and I'll talk about you to me. I will silently judge you. Second, a critical, slanderous, judgmental heart will talk to you to you. We justify this under the disguise of helping you. But it is used as an opportunity to criticize and judge. I will judge you to you. Third, a critical, slanderous, judgmental heart will speak against one another to others. And this is probably the most common that we will find. We talk about one another's weaknesses and failures and sin. There is some kind of delight we get in sharing another person's failures with someone else. Why is this such a struggle for us? You could argue that there is never a shortage of material around us. What I mean is we are never going to be around perfect people because we are not perfect people. We are always going to be surrounded with plenty of weakness and plenty of failure and plenty of sin. So I judge you to others. Another reason we can look to this judgment is easier than mercy. Judgment is easier than mercy. It is easier to stand apart from someone and point a finger at them than it is to patiently walk alongside of them, to love them, to forgive them, to get your hands dirty as you help them bear the burden of change. Instead of helping, we hurt and we slander. Slander is taken very seriously in the Bible. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11 includes it in a list of sins that if someone claims to be a believer but does these things, we should not associate with them or even eat with them, he says. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11 says this, "But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people." This is taken very seriously in the Bible, to slander, to judge. But we must remember this is not a call to set aside our discernment or critical thinking. People use passages like this to excuse or allow wrong behavior because they say we can't judge. He's not asking us to stop exercising church discipline or stop in love and kindness pointing out to another our faults. As we talked about in the second half of James 2, the Bible is not going to contradict itself or teach conflicting principles. He's addressing something different in this passage than having discernment and good wisdom. When we speak against another believer, slander and judgment are almost impossible to separate. When we speak against them, we are saying that this person is not doing what they said they would do, or they are doing something they should not be doing. The slanderer is going beyond what is needed. As we talk about judge and judgment in this verses, think about this. What happens in a court of law? Only after the facts, all the evidence, all the arguments have been heard, is a judgment rendered. With slander, one who speaks evil against another, they are quick to pass judgment before the facts are heard. Sometimes we don't want the facts to come out because then we can't slander or say what it is we want to say about that person, because the facts will reveal it is not true. So we'd rather jump to a conclusion, jump to a judgment, rather than discover the truth. This prerogative to judge belongs solely to God. Again, let's look at verse 11, as it says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against the law judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. When we enter into misinformed, misguided, crude judgment, we are expressing judgment against the law. We are not saying that, we are saying that this doesn't apply to me. What law are we no longer doing, but being a judge over? If you remember, several weeks ago, we talked about the first part in James 2, more specifically, James 2, verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. You are no longer following the law of loving your neighbor. You are judging your neighbor. We are honest and acknowledge our own hearts and how bad they are. We will be less prone to be the judge because how unworthy we are. But if we think more highly of ourselves and deceive ourselves, as it talks about in James 3 and verse 14, if we refuse to humble ourselves before God, we talked about this last week, then we will try to exalt ourselves by slandering others. That's when we find ourselves in the situation James is addressing in these verses. We have all done this, I'm sure, in one aspect or another in our life. I would think a lot of times it would happen on the highway when we're driving. You're speeding, and a car speeding even more than you passes you. And what do we say? What do we think? Look at how fast that person's going. I'm not driving that fast. I'm not doing that bad. What we're really saying is, I'm only breaking the law a little, but that person, wow, that person is breaking the law a lot. I use the silly example to show what we do all the time when we slander and judge. What we do to justify our own behavior, our own shortcomings. We put other people down so we feel better about ourselves and the way that we act. In doing so, we stop being a doer of the word as we know we should be, and we become a judge. As I said, that privilege, that prerogative belongs to God alone. So this passage, we have looked and we have seen man's judgment, man's wrong judgment. So now we will look and see the true judge, the true judge in verse 12. We know laws of this land change, sometimes very quickly, especially today in a day and age that executive orders rule the land and change the law almost daily. That is obviously not the law James is talking about. James is saying there is only one whose laws are permanent, permanently valued, only one whose judgments are of eternal significance. God is the only one who is able to detect absolutely and accurately, to convict with absolute authority, to punish with absolute fairness. God alone. Let's read verse 12 again. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? God alone is able to judge. He is able to save and to destroy. It is in light of that we must surrender to him. We must hear this truth. There is one judge, and he is not you. His judgment is worthy of your trust. His judgment, unlike ours, in every situation will be utterly righteous. But we must remember we are not him, and he is not us. There's a way when I allow myself in a prideful, self-righteous heart to ascend to the throne of God. I take his position because I think I am worthy, but we all know we are not worthy. He is worthy as our creator. He is the creator. He has created each one of us differently, with different talents and gifts to be used in his church, to be used to glorify him. If we were to take his throne as creator and look down at people, at their differences, I would judge them for being different, for being less spiritual than I would think that they should be. When we do this, we deny his creative glory. He has made the people to be just the way that they are around us, not just like us. He is also worthy because he alone is sovereign. The Bible tells us God determines the exact place we will live, the exact length of our days. You have not just been formed by his work as creator, you have been formed by his work as sovereign. We must not seek to remove God from his throne and put ourselves there because we grow impatient. Because we are impatient, we seek to advance ourselves by executing judgment ourselves. It is easy to set myself up as the ultimate standard. My way is the best way. We struggle with others, with other ways that people do things, not thinking that so many of the differences that we struggle with in one another reflect the amazing glory of a sovereign God who is over all creation. He is worthy also as Savior. As Savior, we see the glory of his mercy and his grace. As Savior, he's not looking at your weakness. He's not looking at your failures or your inadequacies or your sin. No, he is looking at the blood of Christ. He's looking at love. We must not look to our Lord Jesus Christ. We must look to our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He was willing to face cruel and constant criticism. He was willing to face rejection and injustice. He was willing to face mistreatment. He was willing to take our punishment, even though he was perfect. So we, in our pride, in our self-righteousness, could go to him unafraid and seek his forgiveness. Let me ask you today, where have you, with your family, with your friends, with your fellow church members, with the people around you every day, where have you ascended to judge and taken this position that only belongs to God? We are not in that position to judge. The absurdity that we think we can take on this, that is God alone. James says, who are you? The judgment of the universe is safely in the hands of a sovereign God. If you want to stop conflict and quarrels around you, stop judging and love your neighbor. Do not take the easy way out and give in to slander and judgment instead of mercy and love. Love your neighbor as yourself. and let Christ rule your heart and your actions. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, this morning we humbly come. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be a people full of love for one another. Lord, help us not to give in to the sin of judging one another, to slandering one another. But Lord, help us to be a people who uplifts one another, who loves one another, who loves our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, help us to be a people here to worship, to honor, to glorify you. Lord, we know we can only do that with your great grace and the great mercy that you give to us every day. Lord, we seek that grace to live out this Christian life that you have laid before us. Lord, that we may point others to you. Lord, that our actions, our life, would be glorifying to you. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.